Canceling plans because your knees hurt? Nope, not anymore. Get to Joint Relief Institute. Safe, fast, immediate pain relief covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000 as in zero pain.
It is 2:36 on WGM, but she's ready now. Susana Mendoza, you were in this studio, I don't know, about 3 months ago. And I asked you, I said, are you running? Are you not running? And you didn't answer yes.
I told you to stay tuned.
You did. And I could see it in your eyes that, yeah, I think I'm going to. But now we know. The world knows.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I told you then that I was on a listening tour and a thank you tour, right? I mean, 26 years of public service, a lot to thank constituents
for. Now, are you going
to
do four of these like the Rolling Stones?
No, they don't pay well. Those guys. No, we just got to get to work now, right? And so, as a result of going on that pretty long tour, I would say, we heard a lot directly from Chicagoans, right? Whether it was on an L train or in someone's living room or in a coffee shop or in their backyard on the streets of Chicago, right? But three main crises that came out of this, and that's that we have a financial crisis, which no matter what neighborhood you're in, everybody feels it. Feel it differently, but they all feel it. We have a public safety crisis. And no matter what the statistics say, you ask Chicagoans what are their top three issues, it's always either number one or number two. And we've got to make our streets safer where people feel it and talk about it. That yes, of course, I love our city. We all love our city. But we want to be able to feel safe in any neighborhood in our city. And the third crisis, which is universal, is just a crisis in confidence in leadership and the direction of the city. And so we see that. Look around. This is a beautiful view. You don't see a single crane obstructing any one of our views right now.
Well, that's because there's a building in the way. There is one, but there one that far.
It shows a crisis in confidence in terms of people choosing not to invest right now. It's like a hovering, waiting to see who the next leader of Chicago is going to be. And then I think you're going to see a flock of cranes all over the city, not just downtown, but all over, because we've got everything going for us. But unfortunately, you know, we've said mayors have been kicked out of office for, you know, a blizzard, for corruption, for incompetence, and yeah, we're living through a blizzard of incompetence right now.
Okay, so let me back up a little bit, and I want to talk about these three points in more detail. But, Susana, I've known you for a long time. Why do you want to be mayor? Why would anyone want this job?
Because I love this city with all my heart. It's where I was born. It's where my son was born. It's where my husband and our family lives. And it's worth fighting for. I can't continue to just sit back and watch what's happening and not knowing that I have the skill sets, the trifecta of experience that no one else has.
What is that trifecta?
Legislative, 10 years as a state rep, two terms as city clerk of Chicago, managing the city council, introducing and passing legislation. You were a part of our success with the puppy mill bills. You saw what I'm capable of doing to bring people together and build the votes to get stuff done. And then also, what absolutely no one can touch me on from a resume perspective would be my financial skills in navigating the state through the two worst fiscal crises in our state's history. And that speaks absolutely to crisis number one, which is the city's financial crisis. So there's no one who can, on day one, immediately give the markets calm. I'll let the credit rating agencies know that we now have an adult who actually understands how to put the math together to benefit taxpayers in this city there. And so this is going to be the hardest job ever. That's why I want to be mayor of Chicago, not when it's easy, when it's hard as hell, because I do my best work when things are at their absolute worst. And it's time. I'm ready. I hope Chicagoans give me one more chance at earning their trust the way I have for 26 years.
312-981-7200 if you want to talk or text questions or comments to Susana Mendoza. All right. I have, as I said, known you for a while. I've never seen you so stoked up. So you are really going after this, clearly so. So let's talk about financial.
Yeah.
Some of that financial, not the city's finances solely, which I'll talk about too, is coming from our national government, the affordability issue. Are you able to do anything about that as a local public official?
Well, I can't control what Washington does specifically that impacts us. I mean, I can speak up on those issues as they're happening, as I have done as a state controller. But a lot of the things that I can put in place for this city can help us play the best defense possible, right? Number one, we should never be spending more than we have coming in. So the problem is that this administration is addicted to spending. And when you're addicted to spending and then on top of that get punched in the face every day from the feds, it compounds on the problem, right? So we need to get our own fiscal house in order to best weather any storm coming from the federal government, best weather any storm hitting our state's finances. I mean, we're in a much better place now to weather an economic downturn through no fault of our own. And actually, we've been building protections in place at the state level to deal with the federal issues and how they affect our funding. But it's like everyone's asleep at the wheel in Chicago and we keep burning cash. So like you need someone who understands intimately how to deep dive into every line item, see where we can trim the fat without cutting into bone, deliver more service at lower cost, but better service. That's what I've done as city clerk. It's what I've done as controller. It's what I'm really, really good at. So this is why we need someone who is an expert fiscal manager at the helm of this city when that expertise is needed more than ever.
Love this text, just two words, but everyone in Chicago will understand them. Parking meters. So are you able, do you think? I asked every candidate, including the one who's the mayor now, last time around, of which there were, I think, 157 of them, I don't know, that all came into the studio, the same question, and they all said, yeah, I can get us out of the deal. Can you?
Well, no one's gotten anybody out of the deal. I think it's really a difficult deal to get out of. It was pretty ironclad. But I would say this, I don't know that anyone's ever, and maybe this is crazy idea, but you know, the city has paid big bucks to like big time lawyers to try to look at this. And the answer always comes back to no, we can't get out of the deal. Now, theoretically, you could purchase them back, right? And if the math makes sense, then you look in that direction. There are obviously people looking to purchase them right now. So there is a market for that. But I would say that you also have to look 10, 20, 30 years down the road. And there's going to be like the, you know, you see cities now going the direction of Waymo. You're seeing people having less of a reliance on wanting to drive into big urban centers. So I think that these, why did the people that buy us or buy the meters from us want to sell it now? It's because they can do math too. And they're seeing the direction of what the next 20, 30, 40 years looks like. But I would say for all the data nerds out there, when I was city clerk, I opened up the city's code to hackers, right? We said, give us your best ideas, you know, take a look at it. You know, maybe there's some person out there or a multitude of them who we're not going to pay. We don't have the money. So like, I'm not going to pretend to say we're going to give you some big bucks right now if you figure out some loophole or something, but have at it. This contract is online. Pull it, go through it. If you think that you know how you can tell the next mayor of Chicago how to get out of the parking meter when nobody else has, get out of that deal, I would welcome that input. And we could probably put some scratch together to reward you if we're able to get out of that. But right now, for anybody to tell you that tomorrow we're getting out of that parking meter deal, I think is disingenuous. But look, nothing's impossible. Impossible just takes a little bit longer. You never know.
Property taxes.
I hate them, right? I mean, come on, we want...
Say that again?
Yes. Who? Nobody loves property taxes. We hate the over-reliance, I certainly do, on property taxes. I believe that the way that we get a handle on property taxes is to grow our city. We have to expand our tax base. That means more people choosing Chicago as a place to live and do business. It means having a pro-growth mentality as mayor. It means saying to businesses, thank you for choosing Chicago. Let me convince you to come to Chicago instead of chasing them out of our city. Because every time we lose a top employer here, for example, it's not just your, I mean, you might feel good about saying, hey, we took on, you know, the big business or the big billionaires, but they can just go to any other city and they take all of their employees with them and they take those jobs with them.
But aren't businesses growing in Chicago? Quantum on the southeast side, whatever Quantum means.
Well, Quantum is an idea right now, and it will be.
But it is coming here.
I think the governor has led beautifully with the Quantum project.
Let me. I'm almost done.
Okay.
Not only that, but all the other similar tech companies coming to the southeast side, where no companies have been, period, doing anything, and also Google. So all of that seems like a plus.
Every time we get a business to come in, that's a plus. We should applaud it and say thank you for doing business in Chicago. But unfortunately, the ledger is not adding up, Steve. We're seeing businesses come in while we're seeing an exodus of others. And so we need to make sure that we're not promoting policies that chase businesses out. And then especially be kind to our small businesses, which drive like 40% of our employment is coming out of that.
I want to talk about that. Funny you should mention that. She read my mind, but that's very light reading.
But hold on.
We have to wait for the point because you know what I have to do? I know. It is a bummer. I've never seen you so pumped up. Have you had a lot of coffee today?
No, this is my first one. Can you believe it?
We will be back with Susana Mendoza at 2:46 on, take a breath, on WGN. Susana Mendoza is in the studio on WGN. Next week on this very radio show from 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock, we'll be talking about a benefit for cats at an ice cream shop called Windy City Sweets in Lakeview. The Black Ensemble Theater celebrating 50 years. Jackie Taylor will be here. What did you just say?
That they're amazing. Ensemble Theater. Yeah.
Yep.
Jackie is like a rock star.
She is a rock star. And I will have a rock star in the studio. We'll be also talking about the Red Cross and all they do. And they have a need for blood. And we'll talk about that next week as well. Susana Mendoza in the studio. Now we are talking about your run for mayor. And before we talk about small businesses, before I forget, and I do tend to forget, I want to be sure to bring this up. Every time I go to Instagram, I see you. And there you are. On the southeast side, there you are on the southwest side, there you are on the northeast side, then the northwest side, at all of these small businesses, all of these restaurants, all of these places, this park that I didn't even know about, and butterflies are flying all over the
place. Yeah.
I mean, that's very cool.
It is cool. I mean, this is an amazing city, and it's like you can live here your whole life, and people haven't even been to a place. Like, you're a Chicagoan through and through, Steve, and you've never been to Columbus Park.
Right.
Did you know that they have the most awesome free a mini putting range? It's beautiful. It's like prettier than anything I've seen anywhere in the city, and it's absolutely free in Columbus Park, open every day.
Yeah, I mean, and I didn't know that myself. And you don't want me playing golf because I might hit a birdie and I would be
well. This is a putt putt. You can do it. I have confidence in you, Steve. Yeah.
All right. So small businesses. A lot of them feel, and I've gotten this very recently. The city nicked me for this. And I say, for what? And they described it. You know, I have an outdoor garden and the seat should be 4 feet away from this instead of 3 feet away. And the guy comes out and literally measures it. And the next thing you know, I'm fined like $500.
Yeah, give him a ticket too. Not even like a warning or anything like that. I've heard that over and over and over. And, you know, we were just talking in the last segment about how important, because we're downtown, like, so for people to understand where we're at. You look in any direction and you're seeing skyscrapers. And when one of them leaves, we're in big trouble, because it's not just that business, the people in it that lose jobs, but all of the smaller businesses that are kind of fed. Their businesses help grow as a result of having a big anchor or a big, huge tenant downtown. Having said that, I've gone to so many small businesses and universally they feel so underappreciated, frankly, taken advantage of by the city. And where the city should be saying, thank you for doing business in our city, the city acts as if the city's doing the small business a favor by letting them set up shop in Chicago. And you hear about how instead of being happy that someone from the city comes by to say, hey, how's it going? Anything we could do to help you? It's, oh my gosh, what are they going to hit me with now? And it's dumb stuff, like new ordinances that get passed that they didn't even know existed. And I'll give you one. Sam Sparks in South Shore, who has this awesome coffee shop called The Brew, whose place has been broken into 12 times at the cost of $20,000 a pop. It was on my Insta.
Yep.
You know, not once has the city reached out to see how they could help. And that poor guy, anybody else would have gone out of business and given up, but he's committed to South Shore and he's not leaving. But he says, you know, I have an inspector come in and they hit me on something that it's not like a health violation, but just, you know, something is like 6 inches off the way it's supposed to be on how his thing is set up. And he's like, and I'm like, I didn't know that. And they're like, well, it's an ordinance. When did they pass that? It was like over the last year or two. And he's like, well, shouldn't you give me like a warning or something? And she goes, it's not my job. Your job is to stay up to date on what the city's ordinances are. My job is to enforce it. I mean, you wish they enforced the law like that, right? Versus like hitting these small business owners who are frankly kept hostage. They're held hostage because unlike the big guys who can pack up and go to any other city, they've invested every penny of their dream into making it here in Chicago. And instead of helping them, this administration makes it harder for them. I'm going to change that when I'm their mayor because I see them, I appreciate them, and I'm going to fight for them.
All right. Couple texts that I think you'll appreciate. Susanna is making me wish I lived in Chicago. I might move there.
Please move. We're going to be so back, baby. Let's go.
But that's not the only text I've gotten that reads exactly like that.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, move to Chicago because I need you to vote for me.
And another text saying that I'm rude to Susanna Mendoza. Am I being rude?
No, you're not.
I don't.
No way.
Okay. I don't understand.
I got a thick skin. It's like a rhinoceros.
You do, actually, but I hope I'm not being rude.
No, you're not. I love you, Steve.
I've known you for a long, long time. All right.
Good Chicagoan right there.
Thank you. Want to ask you about safety. So you mentioned it earlier. Statistics say that the city is safer. The perception is it may not be. How will you make it safer?
Well, number one, I'm going to hold people accountable who commit violent crimes or hurt people, right?
How can you do that? Isn't that up to the prosecutors?
Well, it's a team effort, right? So we now have an excellent state's attorney, Eileen O'Neill Burke. She's fantastic. For the record, I'm the only statewide elected official that came out and endorsed her and worked hard to get her elected because that was a critically important race for the future of our city and our county. So I'm very excited about the work that she's been doing. So you need a strong state's attorney. You need a strong superintendent of police. We have the best superintendent in the nation with Larry Snelling. He's amazing. And you need a mayor who actually believes in prosecuting criminals, right? Like keeping our streets safe. There's no more important job in any big city for a mayor than making sure that you have the safest city possible and that you walk it like you talk it. So in this case, imagine a scenario, and I'll say there's a fourth prong, but let's talk about these three. The mayor, the superintendent, and the state's attorney all working in unison for safety. That's like a dream come true for anybody who doesn't want to be a mugging victim. Number four, though, the judiciary. I don't have direct control on that, but I certainly have a bully pulpit, and I have been using it. If you've been paying attention,
yeah.
Calling out judges who, like, give out, you know, free passes back into society to people accused of murder or attempted murder or predatory sexual assault like it's Pez candy. We have to hold judges accountable for deadly decisions, right? If you're a judge, I called one out before, Tom Nowinski, I'll do it again. Two people died within 8 months because of terrible decisions, one about a woman who was a victim of domestic violence, whose little boy, Jaden Perkins, was murdered trying to defend his mother when a judge should have defended that mother. And then 8 months later, another woman murdered by her husband in a domestic violence case where she had begged for him to be held, but put him right back out on electronic monitoring. When you are making decisions that lead to people dying like that, there should be accountability, and there is none right now. So at the very least, you'd have a mayor who's going to be calling this stuff out. We just saw it with the judge who let Alphonse Talley out, mm-hmm. who murdered Officer Bartholomew, paralyzed another officer, and almost beat to death Maria Velasquez before this all happened. He is like a repeat violent offender, and I'm trying to remember the name of the judge. I'm going to get it back to you, and I hope you say it. But in any event, this can't happen anymore. And we really should have a four-pronged table. Three is usually the strongest, but in this case, the judiciary needs to be held accountable. If a police officer kills somebody or hurts somebody, they can lose their job. They can sometimes go to jail, right? A judge, someone dies on their watch, and nothing happens, that doesn't seem fair. So I do think safety is a real issue, and it's really not what I think, it's what I hear all the time from the people that I've talked to, including, and I'll end it with this, because it really tells a story. I was in Woodlawn, I walked into Daly's restaurant, and I was walking in because I was starving, and that's a good place to eat, by the way. But I walk in, and there's three women sitting all the way to the back of the restaurant, and one of them recognized me, and I started saying hello. Eventually, I just said, can I join you? We sit down to have lunch. And I hear that two out of these three women, when I asked them, what are you most concerned about? Universally, all three, it was public safety. And mm-hmm. when I asked why, two out of those three women lost their sons to gang violence. I mean, they were murdered. They weren't in a gang, but they were murdered by gangs. And two out of three. Think about that. I can't stop thinking about that, Steve. I cannot stop thinking about it. And I promise those moms that I'm going to fight to make sure that there's not more moms that have to join this club that no mom wants to be a part of. It totally breaks my heart. So these are the stories that I'm going to tell. It's not what I think. It's what the people are telling me they need and want in their next mayor. So I'm ready to step up.
We have literally 2 minutes left, a little less. I know. Teen takeovers. We had the mayor on. I asked the mayor about having the parents be responsible, or the guardians, be responsible for the kids. He said there's already laws for that. I'm not sure there are. Some alders I've talked to about this, and they're totally on board. Others, not so much. What do you think, and what would you do about these so-called teen takeovers?
So, again, I talk to parents all the time in these neighborhoods that are most impacted by it.
And well, every neighborhood is now.
Well, you're right. There's so many to count, right? But certainly, they all want accountability. These parents want accountability, and they say that parents should be held accountable. And, you know, you'll be seeing some of these on my Insta, so you know I'm not making this up, right? But at the end of the day, look, we love our kids. Every single kid, whether born in Chicago, living in Chicago, or coming to Chicago, or young person, any person, has a right to come to this beautiful, gorgeous city, its beaches, its parks, its beautiful, you know, anything. But they need to play by the rules, right? We want them to come, but play by the rules, because if you don't play by the rules, bad things happen. We want our kids to come home safe.
Will bad things happen? Because will they be arrested, and then will they be
when
prosecuted?
When I'm mayor, if you think you can come into our city and jump on vehicles, cause criminal damage to property, you know, surround cop cars or other people, or shoot people and have no accountability, well, then you're wrong. So I think that the best way to deal with, because some of these have been mob actions, right? I mean, people were shot dead downtown.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, you have to deal with mob action with a mob mentality. Mom mentality, right? Like, my 13-year-old is way more scared of me than he is of the law, because he knows that I'll crack down. So if parents don't take care of their kids in that respect, then the law, unfortunately, has to. But we need to allow our police officers to put their plan in place and allow them to do their jobs. I will back a safe Chicago, whatever that looks like. But there, it will include accountability, but also investments in our youth so that they make better choices.
All right. I got to cut you off there only because I have to go to the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. It is now 3 o'clock on WGN. Susana Mendoza, I have a hunch you'll be back.
Let's do it.
All right. She's ready. I think she's ready.
Vote for me,
another
Chicago. Let's go.
Okay. Thank you, Susana.